Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So today, Underworld Arraignment Accountability Special. Right, the mainstream news is doing it, so we're doing the mythic version. So we welcome the return of fellow Libran dragon astro-mytho-political Rachel Lang as we cover Barbie as Inanna, great essay by Meg Ellison, True Lamas, U.S. Pluto Return, and the Yes Men continue their liberating hijinks, right? So Rachel is the author of Modern Day Magic and the new children's book As Above, So Below. She was recently elected to the Ojai City Council in Ojai, California. She serves on the boards of the National Council for Geocosmic Research, NCGR, yes, the Stonewall Democrats of Ventura County, the Ventura Regional Sanitation District Board, and the Economic Development Collaborative. Her website is rachellangastrologer.com, and she'll be doing an Omega Institute workshop in October on liberating Venus. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, Caroline. Thanks so much for having me back on the show.
Well, it's a great pleasure. So there's so much, right? So the arraignment was really moments ago. We'll honor that. That's really great. But I texted you right after I saw the Barbie movie on Sunday night at the Moon-Pluto conjunction. And I said, I just saw the Barbie movie and it is fantastic. I note to all progressives who are like, ooh, but it's like, but you haven't seen it, right? Liberate something that's imprisoning is a great trick. And you wrote back, I loved it so much. And I feel the same way. To liberate something imprisoning is a great trick. It's the movie we need for this time. There are so many of us. Anyway, you go on. Wonderful. Well, the film addresses all these complications and reclaims Barbie. Plus, it's damn funny. I barked with laughter.
I know,
many,
me too.
Many great things. And there was a mom, her mother, and the teenage daughter next to me who were all just rocking. So for people who are like, it's like, no, right? You haven't seen it. And yes, Mattel, plastic, creepy. And we want to address the Yes Men's thing too. But let's dive in there, because you did love it and barked with laughter.
I did, yeah. And you know, I've been reflecting on it. It's the kind of movie that stays with you. I feel like I need to see it like one or two more times just to catch what I missed. And my wife was saying that this is, we love Elf, the Christmas movie Elf. And it's like one of those films that you see every year. And I feel like Barbie is going to be that for us, just that we return back to it and take away something new every time.
It's so very crafted. Yeah, it's very crafted. And it is Barbie as Inanna, again, great essay by Meg Ellison. I'm posting it everywhere because it's pretty cool. And we're also going to, as our break music, have Closer to Fine from the Indigo Girls, which is featured prominently in the new Barbie movie, directed by Greta Gerwig, such a talented person.
Yes.
And I should say, you know, in honor of all people who go, ew, haven't seen it, but ew. It's like, no, I prepared by many things, but reading the Meg Ellison Barbie as Inanna going, woo-hoo, and also the interview with Greta Gerwig, in which she said, I can't believe I'm getting away with this.
Right.
And then just a little bit that Amy Ray and Emily Saliers, the Indigo Girls, were interviewed, and Emily said, so I saw it in a theater where I couldn't even figure out how to order popcorn. We grabbed the last three tickets and couldn't sit together, my wife, my friend, and I. They were in Denmark. So it was completely surreal, and I knew that the song would be in the scene where Barbie's driving out of Barbie land. Oh, it's so great. And into the real world. And then Ken pops up, and they're singing this song, so I knew it was going to be in that scene, but it ended up being in three different scenes, so it was absolutely a total shock, first of all, to be seeing it premiering in that environment, right? And second of all, to have it appear that many times in the movie, and most of all, I loved the movie. I loved it, right? Mm. So take that, everybody, right, with many grains of salt. It's a huge surprise, and I am enthused to see it again.
Yeah, it's you know, it's one of the things that for me, it felt like such a coming together and in a personal way. You know, I grew up playing with Barbies. I loved Barbies. And And you know, I would create these whole worlds. So what they showed with Barbie World was really the world of a young girl's imagination. And it's very similar to how I remember creating that world when I was a child. And then when I was, you know, my freshman in college, I officially came out of the closet, and you know, the Indigo Girl, I followed the Indigo Girls all around the country, you know, and played Closer to Fine at open mic nights, and at the same time, I was learning about some of the more problematic aspects of Barbie in terms of how she reflected the male gaze, and you know, perhaps held women to impossible beauty standards and things like that, and so it, you know, knowing that really colored my experience of childhood play. And made me question, you know, whether or not who I was at a core level was conditioned, or whether it was more of a reflection of myself. And over the years, I've had this. I still have my Barbies from childhood, and I
Wow.
started, yeah, and I started to realize that really Barbie for me was my entry into storytelling. And that that playing Barbie and creating the Barbie worlds that I brought my siblings into and my friends into, that it was about visualizing and creating, using my imagination to create new outcomes for my life. And so it's been watching the film helped me to unpack all of those complications. And then, of course, to connect it to the Anonymous, and to Venus, and all of the recent work I've been doing with looking at how do we liberate the sacred feminine, within ourselves, the Barbie within ourselves. So it was a film that was deeply personally relevant, but also I think that is so relevant for us at this time.
Right. And in case I can hear the progressives going, grr, it's like, no, you haven't seen it. You haven't seen it. I had a more conflicted relationship to Barbie being two dragons earlier than yourself. I mean, I knew it was like bad, even at a young age. And but I did do horrible, tormenting things to Barbie, which they address in the film, which is so wonderful. Kate McKinnon as Weird Barbie, you know, who has been tortured and whatever, who then guides her to go to the underworld, which is our world. And they have the fabulous, sullen teenage girl, you know, like so many appropriately, you know, teens in Oakland who are like, no, it's nonsense, it's patriarchal. And it's honored, you know, the perspective. But I knew, even as a little girl, that Barbie was bringing out the worst in me. Because I remember going, oh, this classmate has invited me for an overnight to her house, and I don't really like her, but she's got all these Barbie accessories. And I remember noting to myself, going, oh, that's really cold and creepy, Caroline. Right? So there was the consumer thing, but that's what's so. I want to see the movie again because there are so many double, triple, spiraling, liberating loops. It's like, whew. And my political ally Pat Ewing was so ardent because she goes, Ken World is MAGA world and RFK Jr. world too. And it's like, yes, and they do a fabulous woman hero everything thing, which is to liberate the entire circumstance, including Ken World, and to decondition everyone from their conditioning, right? It's like the imprisoning thing again is the guiding for our political climate now. It's astounding, you know. And going, that's how you do it. That's how you liberate Ken World and MAGA World and women who've been conditioned. It's again such a double, triple, cool thing. So there's
Yeah,
that. And
I thought that was brilliant. And the fact that they were doing it within the MAGA world, that they weren't trying to create a new world and say, hey, come and join us in this world. They were meeting people where they were. meeting all the you know, Ken World Barbies, the possessed Barbies. They were going to where they were and using education, right, opening their minds. It was really, I thought it was really creative in how they turned that around.
Right. And remember who you are. Remember who you are. You're not a servant.
Yes.
You're president, you're a doctor, you're the, you know, so it addresses so much. And when I was, you know, again, reading the Greta Gerwig interview in the New York Times, because I hadn't heard about it, and I, like everybody's, you know, kind of reaction was like, oh, Barbie world. And then, you know, Greta Gerwig saying, I can't believe they're letting me get away with this.
Right.
Because it is astounding. So and also it was the Barbie as Inanna essay was released as Venus retrograded, and Venus is now going. She's disappeared from the evening sky, always poignant. She's in all mythologies, in all the worlds. This is where Inanna in the West, Quetzalcoatl in Mesoamerica, descends into the underworld. And many ways to tell the story, but they're descending into the underworld to gather, in the Quetzalcoatl myth, you know, true leadership to emerge in everyone's heart, not in one person. I keep noting the crucial guidance for now, because it was when the heliacal rise of Venus, when Quetzalcoatl or Inanna has returned, and this will be, according to our latitude, you know, around August 28th-ish, when Venus emerges as the morning star, it's a big deal. It's like, oh, wise leadership has returned, says Mesoamerica. And that's when Cortez shows up, the murderous thug, and they mistake the mortal man for the myth.
Mm-hmm.
Always a mistake, right? And that's what was happening in 2016 at the Republican convention when I was part of the Pacifica staff covering the convention as mythic news person. And it was the same thing. So I'm going to toss it back to you in two sentences or me, which is, these myths exist in all of us, even if we don't know it. So
right.
At the Republican convention, nobody knew about the Venus cycle, right? Mm-hmm. But they were possessed by it, you know, and maybe part of our dedication is to know the myth is to cooperate with it. To not know it is to be possessed by it. And in the same way as Cortez at the Republican convention, all those people, heliacal rise of Venus, they mistook the former guy for Quetzalcoatl. Yeah?
Right. Yeah, and I think it's poetic that what we're seeing with Trump's indictment is happening at this time while Venus is retrograde. And, you know, Venus relates to justice, and Inanna relates to justice, and that was a big part of their myth, was about balancing the poles, the polarities. And so I think that the Barbie movie coming out at the time when Ken World, the realistic, the MAGA world's leader, is being held accountable for his, you know, I don't even know the right word to use. But the fact that this is all coming to a head right now, that our examples of Venus in our own culture were part of his indictments. I mean, I think about Stormy Daniels, for example, being one of the first. And so we're witnessing the power of Inanna, of Venus, when she does come into light, to create balance and to help to balance out some of the inequities that we've you know, lived through for centuries since patriarchal rule, but especially since 2016.
Yes. Right, and there's so many great conversations going on within us all, really, in a sense. You know, I'm just looking at the arraignment chart, which was just, you know, an hour ago. And, you know, and we're here to support that. And it is a sun in Leo, moon Saturn in Pisces conversation. So I love the Leo Pisces conversation going, it's not performance. It's not even, it's not celebrity hoo-ha, go deeper, go deeper. It's actual collective ritual magic of accountability. You know, it's that moon Saturn in Pisces and, you know, in Greek astrology, which is often grumpy, but has some merit, the moon is the collective will of the people. And it's right next to Saturn. We go accountability and yay, Jack Smith, right? I did make up his birth time just for fun because I wanted to give him the rising sign of America's Pluto because America is in its Pluto return, right, which is Pluto every 248 years or so returns to where it was. And so this is the first America-Pluto return. And it's as though, you know, Pluto says, all right, you guys, you can have a democracy or try one. That would be good. We should try democracy. But only if you look at everything, only if you go to the deep underworld and dredge it up and look at everything, you know, and there's the suppressive, you know, Ken world, MAGA world, you know, whatever, which is tamp it down. It's like, no, you know, all the heroic beings go deep down. Oh, look, Jack Smith has his moon in Pisces right now, too. I mean, always, and Saturn's on it. So there's yeah, so is there anything that you can go anywhere you want, of course.
Yeah. I have so many places I want to go. Well, I think let's go back to the arraignment chart for just a moment, because I love that you brought out the Saturn, moon-Saturn conjunction. But Saturn's the moon is also opposite Pallas. That's a little asteroid that relates to wisdom, that relates to the like warrior craft. But I noticed that Pallas is very prominent in the charts of people who are ally, like, you know, warriors for justice, or who are advocates for justice in some way. And over the course of the rest of the afternoon, the moon is going to be opposing Mars. So Pallas is right, probably almost at the exact midpoint of Mercury and Mars, being the messenger of our boundaries. Our boundaries as a country, what we're willing to tolerate, what we aren't. But Mercury also, I think Mercury has the ability to go into the darker places. It goes into the underworld and it comes out and it delivers the messages that need to be delivered. So this arraignment is happening with all of this, you know, dynamic energy right in the Pisces Virgo axis line. So so I think that even more as the news stories come out later on this afternoon, and as, you know, pundits start talking about what's happening and how some of the events are unfolding, I think we're going to see even more enlightened information coming out that's supportive of holding him accountable. And Caroline, I know I just jumped. I'm Gemini mooning this for a second, but one thing I love, I can't remember, it was a previous show of yours, and I think it was in 2016 it was somewhere, it was either when he got the nomination or when he was elected, I can't remember, but you talked about magic and about ritual and the ethics of, you know, doing, working magic with people who are behaving badly. And one thing I love is you said that when we are doing any kind of spell work with someone behaving badly, that an ethical way to do that would be to intend for them to have what our higher selves would want us to have if we were behaving badly. Did I get that right?
Pretty, yeah, but it's pretty close. I mean, and it's good on its own. It's We just put on our altar of desirable mystery for everybody. We are encouraged to do blessings, fierce blessings, of anything that we would happily accept ourselves. So the Saturn that we honor, we go, may those abusing power be moved to a place they can no longer harm themselves by harming others. And we get to say, well, would I accept that? If I were, yeah, absolutely. Then let it spiral forth, everybody. May those abusing power be moved to a place they can no longer harm themselves by harming others. Right? So that's part of our collective arraignment, you know. And I do love in the arraignment chart, the sun in Leo illuminating is in the eighth house, what is invisible. The eighth house is backstage. And our word obscene comes from Greek stage direction. It means off stage. When Medea murders her children, the stage direction is obscene, not shown. So this is about illuminating the obscene, right? Mm-hmm. And bringing it out into collective, like, I'm so impressed by, well, when you say that the Virgo, the Mercury in the Pallas and the Mars in Virgo, part of all of our dream, you know, precision, craft, language, you know, linguistic precision guides the vision, that opposite to the Pisces thing. And Jack Smith, may he be praised, again, you know, June 5th, 1969, you know, it's so crafted, this indictment. It's so detailed, prepared. It's so impeccable. It's really heartening. And I love that he too, 1969, right, is born with the Uranus-Pluto conjunction, Uranus at 29 Virgo, which is, a person calmly cleaning the house in the midst of an earthquake, an emergency call, one's attention goes to matters at hand. And we go, yeah, he's doing it. In a deeply dedicated way. You know, he's got the moon in Pisces, sextile Venus and Saturn in Taurus, meaning it's idealism dedicated to collective well-being with absolutely grounded, for real, dedication, right? And his Mercury is for Gemini, which is a radical magazine, spiraling, liberating truths. And the image for his son is 15 plus Gemini, which is a person giving a rousing speech on behalf of the Earth. And we go, thank you. Right. We're all in this mystery play together. It's all one big dream. That's the Jack Smith part of all of us. We go, yeah. So
it is. I'm aware that that Neptune, transiting Neptune, is conjunct his north node in Pisces as well. And as Neptune goes retrograde, it's going to perfect enough time. And so it's, you know, I think the north node in Pisces to me is the one who can shape stories, is the visionary in many ways. It's the one who can go into other realms and translate some of that information. And there's a real spiritual drive that I think is motivating this, that he might not be aware of, or maybe he is, but I think that he's the representative for the fifth dimension, so to speak. He's the representative for this other realm that works in support of us.
Yes, and I think just the transiting Virgo part of all of us, you know, we just go, just let's wonder how it's perfect, because you know, there is in all of us, you know, the kind of nya-nya snark thing going, he should have started earlier, and it's like, no, we're going to wonder how this is perfect, you know, and you know, and yes, all the, you know, and then people who haven't seen the movie, but the important point anyway, you know, and Mattel, you know, creepy polluter of plastic and creepitude. Yes, that's true. And in the in Asia and Japan, they're appalled at the marketing campaign, which is Barbie Hammer, right, in which they have pink nuclear clouds and stuff, and it's like, that's horrible. And that's the parent company doing that. But again, we're operating on multiple levels in the underworld too. The movie not doing that, real life doing that. But that takes us to, I got spoofed. I got spoofed. I was a part of my buddy, same birthday, Chris Jordan, who was, I guess, working in a small way with the Yes Men. But they put out, I believed it, right? I sent it to everybody, and let's see if I can you know pull the thing up. But it was very believable, and it was it was believable if we wanted it to. Mattel announces plans to go plastic free by 2030. It's the Yes Men are so good at this. It's the right website. It's Mattel's website, MattelCorporate.com. They created that thing. Right. And I believed it, and they're going to do, you know, female superheroes, which there's already a Jane Goodall Barbie, which apparently she thinks is good, you know, right. But I sent it to everybody. And then I had to go, oh, expletive, it's a hoax via the Yes Men, but the movie remains great. And if it's not true, let's make it true. It was very smart. And the Yes Men, who they're very crafty, they are very much about, you know, changing the atmosphere through hijinks and pranks, many of them. They started off years and years ago. One of their earliest pranks was taking the voice boxes from Barbie and G.I. Joe and reversing them and putting them back in stores, right? So G.I. Joe would say, There's never enough time for shopping. And Barbie would go, die, Cobra. Anyway, so that was one of their first pranks. They started off with Barbie, and now here they do the Barbie thing. And then when they've done this by issuing desirable, you know, what we would like, things like from the Chamber of Commerce and things like that, you know, things that these organizations didn't do but should, right? And then the organizations have to come out and explain, like, oh, no, we didn't really mean that, good stuff. Some of them, I can't remember, I'll have to research, actually changed and goes, oh, well, we will do that. So, yeah, so I just go, yeah, Mattel should ban all plastic, yeah?
They should. They absolutely should. In fact, it's funny, when I got your text that it was a hoax, I thought, well, then this is our way of calling it into being, it into being true. And you know, it definitely activated me to write some letters and to get active in starting that campaign.
Yes, and it's part of a skill. I know some wonderful Tibetan activists who would do wonderful things and then say that the Chinese government had done that, and so all these people would. Would go, oh, Chinese government, you did something sane and wonderful. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And the Chinese government would go, oh, you're welcome. I guess we will do that. Anyway, so it's tricking people or evil corporations into goodness.
Right.
It's all kind of part of the movie. The whole thing is a high trick. And so when I read the thing, Mattel, you know, vows to give up plastic, I was like, oh, that makes sense, right? And then when I read it was a hoax, I'm like, oh, no, actually, that's a cool trick too, right, is what you're suggesting.
Right, and I think this is such a signature of Pluto and Capricorn. Pluto and Capricorn being, just for context, you know, when Pluto entered Capricorn, it was the very start of the Occupy Wall Street movement. And so much of this cycle has been about understanding the role of corporations in our political processes. You know, the conversation about how corporations have more rights than individuals. And so I think it's as Pluto is getting ready to move into Aquarius over this next year and a half, I think that we are being called to hold corporations more accountable, and this is just one way that we can do that.
Yes, yeah, and on the other side of the break, we're gonna play the song that you love and I love. It was brought back to me, you know, it's the Indigo Girls and Closer to Fine. And on the other side of it, we will honor True Lammas, which will be August 7th, and more on Jack Smith, and more on The Accountant, and more on Kate McKinnon as Weird Barbie, and more all of these things, and the ethics of working magic in the world. That's so great. So just as you listen to this song, and we're going to play the whole thing, because it's so great, you know, as Emily Saliers, you know, part of the Indigo Girls, said, you know, she said, you know, this movie is so pro-tolerance, and we'll get to the Barbie Dreamhouse thing on the other side as well, because at first you go ew, and then you go, oh, it's a trick, it's an interesting good trick. And so remember, Emily Saliers says, it was a shock to see, you know, our song, you know, from 1989, and it's first played when Barbie's driving out of Barbie land into the real world, our world, which is the underworld. And and then, as Emily Saliers said, it was so weird to be entangled or whatever with Barbie world, but we loved it. And she goes, and most of all, I loved the movie. I loved it. So here we go, Closer to Fine.
Great.
I'm trying to tell you something about my life. Maybe give me insight between black and white. And the best thing you ever done for me is to help me take my life less seriously. It's only life after all. Yeah. Well, darkness has a hunger that's insatiable. And lightness has a call that's hard to hear. And I wrap my fear around me like a blanket. I sail my ship of safety till I sank it. I'm crawling on your shores. I went to the doctor, I went to the mountains. I looked to the children, I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, yeah. Closer I am to find, yeah. And I went to see the doctor of philosophy with a poster of Rasputin and a beer down to his knee. He never did marry or see a B-grade movie. He graded my performance. He said he could see through me. I spent 4 years prostrate to the higher mind. Got my paper and I was free. I went to the doctor, I went to the mountains. I looked to the children, I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, yeah. Closer I am to find, yeah. I stopped by the bar at 3 a.m. to seek solace in a bottle or possibly a friend. I woke up with a headache like my head against a board, twice as cloudy as I'd been the night before. And I went in seeking clarity. I went to the doctor, I went to the mountains. I looked to the children, I drank from the fountain. We go to the doctor, we go to the mountains. We look to the children, we drink. From the fountain, yeah, we go to the Bible, we go through the workout, we read up on revival, we stand up for the lookout. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, closer I am to find. Closer I am to find.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, and our wonderful co-cahooting guest ally, fellow Libra dragon, is astro-mytho-political Rachel Lang. Her website is rachellangastrologer.com. But that is such a moving, rousing song, yes?
I know. Were you singing along?
No, I still had my microphone up, okay. I was rocking.
I muted my microphone and I sang the whole thing. And I hope that
that's so great.
Who's listening to the show is having a sing along right now.
The words are fabulous, and everything mm-hmm. is all part of the quirky dream. Like, yes, there's tyranny and oppression, and then there's the tricky thing underneath. You know, it is. Closer to fine, it's about deconditioning,
right?
The darkness has a hunger that's insatiable, right? Four years prostrate to higher. You go. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say the lightness has a call that's hard to hear.
Yes, mm-hmm. right. And 4 years prostrate to higher mind. You know, drop the papers, and I was free. And about not associating with divinity, right? It's just what we're right. saying. It's like the myth is that leadership and goodness. And cultural renewal born in each heart. No hero, no one person, no celebrity. It's a big film about don't be snookered.
Right.
It's kind of like one of the most radical films I ever saw was way back in I think it's a 1915 film by Jigga Vertov called Man with a Camera, and the reason it's so radical is it's this compelling, photo movie montage of Moscow, and then the camera pulls back and shows the people filming. So it's like you're enthralled, you're in it, and then let's reveal to you the mechanism of whereby you're enthralled. Very radical. And I'm going to put the Barbie movie and Jigga Vertov's Man with a Movie Camera in radical deconditioning film fest, right? Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. latter is so unlikely, but it's just hilarious.
I think one thing I love about in terms of radical is about the Barbie film is that Barbie was interested in liberating Ken. That was part of their reclaiming Barbie world wasn't about suppressing Ken or stripping him of power. It was about liberating him to develop his own sense of self. And it was kind of funny. One of my favorite lines of the movie, there's so many lines that stood out to me, one of them was when Ken said, well, once it's not an exact quote, but basically the gist of it is, once I learned that patriarchy wasn't all about trucks, I kind of lost interest.
No, horses.
Horses, that's right, horses, I'm sorry. Horses, yes, that's right. Once I learned it wasn't all about horses, I kind of lost interest.
Very charming.
Being able to question the model, the patriarchal model or the system, rather, and realize that it doesn't really serve those who have that perceived sense of power anyway.
Yeah, no, it's super pertinent, and it's really guiding us now how to, right, because the Ken world tyrants, and it's so like Dumuzi and Anana, they're about to rewrite the Constitution to suppress mm-hmm. all mm-hmm. beings. And again, little shout out to the parts of us appropriately that would say, wasn't it about fat shaming and body shaming? And it's like, no, they really handle that. There's old woman, beautiful, there's large shapes of everything, there's many colors. They do address that. Every time you think of like, they handle the thing. And again, about deconditioning, the Venusian hero or heroine is interested in liberating the entire circumstance, right? That's the thing, even the tyrant. And it comes through, let's liberate you from your, ridiculous, infantile, compensatory, condescension, tyranny, right? And it's like, and they do. It's like, yeah, and there's a lot, oh, sorry, yeah, you go.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I've forgotten what I was going to say.
this is what happens when you get two Libra dragons together. You know you. I was just going to add that I also appreciated that Barbie didn't have to lose her Barbiness, that she didn't have to downplay her own beauty or to try to conceal it or to become Ken, that there's space in Barbie world for the representation of that more stereotypic feminine beauty. She calls herself stereotypic by Barbie for anyone who hasn't seen it. So I'm using that word intentionally because I think, you know, so going back, I'm going back to my waking up days in college. And I remember having such a complex relationship with femininity and becoming a feminist, thinking that maybe coming out as a lesbian, being a feminist, that meant I had to shave my head, and I did, or that I had to try on different ways of being a woman in a woman's body, and ultimately coming back around to really integrating the aspects of myself that were more like, you know, my inner Inanna or my inner stereotypic Barbie. And really starting to fall in love with those parts of myself, and including even the way I looked. And so I think that's a process that so many of us women go through. And in being in a political position too, there's a lot of scrutiny around how you dress. You can't look too soft. Or at least, you know, these were some of the things that I was given as advice. And ultimately, I think this film helped me to really unpack some of my own beliefs around beauty and femininity and my own Venus. So that's just one other thing I wanted to bring into this conversation too.
Right. Well, I think you know, I like to give voice to Uranus, nature's evolutionary trickster genius in many forms, and of saying, you know, we are big intelligences dancing with all of you. Mm-hmm. We don't care what you do. We care the manner in which you do it, that it come from freedom and choice. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like my wonderful friend Heather, you know, many relationships and many angles of relationships and all kinds of things. And then she found her true love, who mm-hmm. was a cross-dressing Native American cowboy. So he would shave his legs, and she had aggressively hairy legs. And she's like, why are you shaving your legs? And he's like, for me, it's freedom. And for you, having aggressively hairy legs is freedom. It's the same thing. And we go, all right, as long as it's a choice with some wit. And Barbie Inanna, she does have to let it all go, right? She's right. Face down. She loses her beauty. She loses her ridiculous feet. She has to wear Birkenstocks, right? She and she chooses those, right?
Right.
It's very witty. So you gotta, and I think that's part of the cycle that we're in, the mythic cycle, as Venus descends into the underworld, which she is. She's no longer visible in the evening sky. Always like a little poignant for myself, she must, in the Inanna myth, take off everything external from which she's gained her identity, her mm-hmm. ring, her wedding ring, her crown, her makeup, you know, her everything, yeah. Take it all off, you know, your art shoes, whatever. And then when she comes back, the heliacal rise of Venus, she gets to choose rather than conditioning mm-hmm. what she will take back as a freedom, what was a prison. Right. And I think that's the resonance in the myth, and that's the resonance in the culture now, and that's the resonance. There was also some hilarious wag. At some recent Trump event, the song they played to get him on stage is "I Might Have to Go to Prison." I don't know who did that, but thank them forever. Thank them forever. You know, mm-hmm. and there he was with his little tight fisted, you know, kind of, you know, Ken World. Terrible right. dancing. Anyway, so yeah, so there's, you know, hijinks, liberating hijinks in all of us, no matter mm-hmm. what. That's great. And then let me toss this to you, because my backstage grand wazir ally Richard sent me the link on pop culture HGTV stars make real Barbie Dreamhouse. new series, and part of me was like, oh no, you know, without looking at it, I mean, or even looking, going, oh, this looks terrible. Yeah. But he goes, no, this is fantastic. It's a huge aesthetic, fantastic gay festival. It's mm-hmm. the irresistible antidote to, say, Florida, right? And right. It's like, really? Right. Okay. It looks creepy and stupid, but it's wonderful. So again, I think it's good for all of us kind of progressive minded people, which is like, you know, it's like Terry Pratchett says, first thoughts, second thoughts better, third thoughts even better. It's like, wait for it, wait mm-hmm. for it, go a little deeper. You know, so I was delighted when I got the review, and it's like, yeah, and they have, you know, large woman as the host and the thing, and it's like, okay, all right, I'll go there. So that was, you know, again, may we all be liberating to each other about things we think we know, mm-hmm. which we do sometimes, right? But then underneath, there's the liberating trick that we might miss if we were just grumpy.
Right. And what a great example of Venus and Leo too, you know, the Barbie Dreamhouse HGTV show. It's, you know, Venus and Leo she wants the drama. She wants to be elaborate, to be seen. She wants the big gay fest. And at the same time, there's an element of Leo that's really about expressing the self, and Venus retrograde, you know, is really about expressing the unexpressed self, the quiet aspects of ourselves that that want to be loved as much as those more conscious parts of ourselves want. So I think I'm gonna put the Barbie Dreamhouse show in the category of Venus and Leo.
Right. Well, Venus and Leo is pretty gay. Right, and then, I mean, it's definitely cross-dressing. It's definitely over the top. It's definitely a celebration with a deeper purpose underneath. And then I just wanted for us all to honor true llamas, right? So the four cross-quarter holidays are Halloween, you know, Candlemas, you know, Beltane, and Llamas, right? It's when the sun reaches exact mid-season. So we round it off, like October 31st, Halloween. But there's a true one. And all cultures really did honor this as much as equinoxes and solstices. They're called mm-hmm. the four gates of power, where power is especially eager to be invited in, you know, come on in, power. And then we offer the template, come on in, power, and animate this guiding story, this altar, this mm-hmm. festival, this dedication. And I think that's part of what we're talking about, the Leo to the Saturn and Pisces, you know, which is come on in, Leo power, and animate this dedication. Mm-hmm. You know, for all of us to go, what are we most deeply dedicated to is mm-hmm. is a great wondering, you know, and then it will be August 7th at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time, so I guess that's 11:30 a.m. West Coast time on August 7th. The sun will be at exact midsummer, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't have to be, you know, neurotically precise, you know, but there's a lot of great stuff there. The moon exalted in Taurus, mm-hmm. it's for the earth, all creativity for the earth now. The moon will be at 6+ Taurus, which I love. It's the woman of Samaria at the ancestral well. Healing cross-cultural encounters around water, which we surely need.
Right.
We'll come back to the water temperature in Florida was 101, and all the corals are dying. And 65% of life in the ocean depends on those corals. We'll come back to that. But the first September 11th in this country was September 11th, 1857, when the Mormons dressed up as Indians and attacked settlers. And then they said to the settlers, we see you're out of water. Here, we'll give you safe passage to get water. And they're like, oh, thank you very much. And the Mormons killed them all. And Pluto was at 6 Taurus. And it's like, no, healing cross-cultural encounters around water. And when Trayvon Martin was murdered by George Zimmerman, you know, there was a Moon-Jupiter conjunction at 6 Taurus. And it's like, no, healing cross-cultural encounters around water. I love the Episcopalian minister saying, I want to live in a world where George Zimmerman offered Trayvon Martin a ride home in the rain. It's like,
right.
So here we have another opportunity, team, you know, to dedicate to healing cross-cultural encounters around water. And what we're going to do about the ocean, we don't know.
I know.
It's heartbreaking.
It really is. And even the ocean life is rushing to protect it. You know, you see the orcas and the otters.
And the otters.
Right. Yeah. And so I think Saturn in Pisces you know, this transit is so much about protecting the water, creating boundaries around and laws, policies around protecting the ocean and protecting the ocean life. So I think that's going to be a conversation that continues throughout up until 2025 when Saturn enters Aries.
And just so everybody knows what's at stake, Project 25, Democracy Now! Did a good segment on this, is a most nefarious thing that we should all be aware of, which is it's the Koch brothers and all the gas and oil people saying, if any Republican is elected president, then we're going to move in and completely dismantle the Environmental Protection Act and deregulate all coal and oil gas drilling. They have this, the Dementors have this backstage. So anything that would lead to electing a Republican president is toxic and dangerous.
Just it is.
Put that on there. I was very considering because I don't want to have, never mind. We want to be fluid with our stories. I don't want to feed the story about people's desire for celebrity, mythological, new participation in politics could seal the fate of the world. Okay, I'll just put that to one side. But just keep in, you know, it's what you're saying, you know, everybody, you know, our own dedication, keep in mind the savviness, the necessary savviness of collective well-being, you know. Right. Does this action, is it good, truly good for everybody in a deep, knowledgeable way, right? So, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I think Pluto at the last degrees in Capricorn, and Pluto's been at the bendings or at activating the north and south nodes, which are the points of our collective evolution. And so Pluto is helping to dredge up some of the, to borrow your word, the obscene aspects of our culture. And in particular, Pluto in Capricorn is the government, is corporations, is the economic systems. And so I think we have a real potential over the next 2 years as we're in this pivotal turning point with Pluto moving into Aquarius. I think we have collective imagining power to see how are we going to access our own nodal path purposes individually and in our groups and direct the course of where the world moves, of our culture.
Well, I love, you know, the north and south nodes of the moon. It's just where the moon crosses the sun's path, and it has much symbolic merit. And I love the south node right now for us is men toiling in a dark pit, a woman calmly lowers a rope. It's the Barbie movie again. Okay, but it's a great image. It's also Emma Kayla Gaston's Something Important, and many other great people. But I love my friend Sylvia Hanley, great astrologer, ally for decades, says the south node is what we already know how to do, and we take it to the north node. And so it's like, all right, you know, we know how to lower a rope so our culture can climb out of a dark pit of fossil fuels. We know how to do it somewhere in us, even though it might be too late for the ocean. We don't know. Just to amend what I said, you know, from the article in the New York Times, climate, coral reefs, heat, Florida, ocean temperature was 101 degrees. It's 25% of all ocean life depends on coral. But I love the dedicated humans whose hearts are breaking. Yeah. The people who really know, she said, Ms. Thomason said, the coral didn't even have a chance to bleach. It just died. And she said it felt like, oh my God, we're in the apocalypse. What's happening?
Right. And then all the divers who are going down to to farm coral, to get clippings of coral to farm it. It's just, it's such a beautiful effort that I think is happening not fast enough, and you know, certainly it doesn't address the real problem of the heating temperatures, but there are people who are dedicated to the life that exists under the water, and I think that's really, it's been beautiful to see that effort taking place.
There is, and that's why, again, we come back to, like, humans by themselves, it's hopeless. Humans humbly cooperating with nature's guiding genius, it's the only way to go.
Right? It is.
So,
yeah.
Last word, Rachel Lang, thank you so much for astro-mytho collaborative kahooting. Barbie full moon, yes. Llamas kahooting, right?
So, yes, thank you so much. This has been so fun. I love talking about Barbie. I just love the film, and and I'm just going to back up that I had real reservations about seeing it too, and so for the progressives who are listening, who are concerned that this is not the movie for them, I think you'll be surprised.
I think so, and being surprised is a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't think you know, wait for it. May we all be surprised by liberating tricks that look like prison
mm-hmm.
at first, right? So there we go. So your wonderful website, bless your heart, is rachellangastrologer.com. You have an upcoming workshop at Omega, Liberating Venus, and you do so much good. And I love that you're on the Ventura Regional Sanitation District Board as part of you being a member of the elected to the Ojai Council. You're cleaning uh-huh. things up, sanitation uh-huh. on all levels. Yeah. That's so wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rachel Lang. That's
thank
good.
Thank you
always to Rod Akil, great board op. I'm Caroline Casey. We will be reconvening next week. Woof, woof, woof. There we go.
Woof.